Christ came to bring hope. My verses are 1 Timothy 1:1 and Titus 2:13, but I'm going to read those in a minute. What is hope? As with most discussions, it's going to help if we define our terms. Because in this case, there's a pretty stark difference between what the world calls hope and what the Bible calls hope. The world's view of hope is really just wishful thinking. It's baseless optimism. For example, earthly hope would be Republicans when Republicans hope that they can hold on to the White House in the next election. And there's some earthly hope because it worked out pretty good last time. And so far, the president has been able to accomplish a lot of his agenda, right? But there have been some little hiccups, little pointed sticks that poke holes in that hope, little nagging doubts. The midterm elections didn't go great for Republicans in some pretty notable places. And don't forget, there have been two attempts on the president's life. What if there's another shooter? Earthly hope is Eagles fans hoping for another Super Bowl win this February. Sometimes through the season, they think their team's got it in the bag, but odds makers don't think so. Odds makers are liking the Rams and the Seahawks, and you know, you're always one major injury away or a betting scandal away from a tragic ending to a once promising year. We also hear a lot about in these days about something that they call, the internet calls, manifesting. Manifesting basically is screwing your brain down so tight to wish for something so intensely, visualizing and speaking things out into the universe, acting as if your desired outcome already exists so that it just materializes. It's wishing hard for something good, but with zero reason for real confidence that it'll actually come to pass. But hear me, that's not hope. These are not examples of real hope. It's still just glorified wishful thinking with scant evidence for genuine confidence that the thing hoped for will actually come to pass. Turns out, earthly hope isn't hope at all. The biblical view of hope, however, is confident, joyful expectation filled with assurance because of the absolute reliability in the one we place our trust in. Our hope is a person. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul introduces himself as the writer by proclaiming, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope." In Titus 2:13, he speaks of waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. While Christ praises childlike faith, still he gives us reasons to hope, reasons for our hope. When you consistently get prompt callbacks and good service from, oh, say, an electrician maybe, it gives you reason to have confidence that you will receive more of the same the next time you need some work done. When your teenager is consistently home by curfew and follows through on the things you've requested of them, it gives you good reason to trust them and therefore a reasonable hope that you can expect more of that behavior in the future. How much more so with Christ, our infinitely trustworthy Savior? Jesus fulfilled over 300 messianic prophecies. The sheer number and specificity of these fulfillments should cement our hope, our trust. Knowing that his word is sure, that's hope. Among those hundreds of prophecies, Christ proved himself trustworthy in the fulfillment even of seemingly insignificant ones, like what kind of animal he would ride into Jerusalem on, or how many pieces of silver the church leaders would hand to Judas. And since that's the case, we can place our hope in this Jesus who told his disciples that they would scatter when he was arrested in Matthew 26. And in that same passage, he told Peter, really a four-part small prophecy, "This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And then he did it. It happened. How's that for specific? Three times in Matthew in chapter 16, 17, and 20, Jesus told his disciples that he would be crucified and then rise from the dead on the third day. And then he did it. Defeating death, making final payment for sin, and saving his elect to the uttermost. That is hope. So, church, when the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Skipping ahead to 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I can have a sure biblical hope that he has drawn me near and that no longer am I separated from Christ. I am family. I'm now family. When Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, I can know that my redemption is sure. No nagging doubts that somehow at the last minute I might be snatched from his hand. When 1 John 5:13 and 14 tells me, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence, hope in other words, that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I can know that I know that I know that I know that when questions about my assurance creep in, it's not from him. Because of his trustworthiness, I have genuine hope. And I can be sure that when my desires are in line with his, and then he delights in giving them to me. It's not just pie in the sky, wishful thinking. When Christ in John 16:33 assures us, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I can rest in a hope that when it feels like the world around me is coming apart, the outcome is sure. Truth wins. When I lose my voice, when Carol loses his precious Linda, when Art or Wayne or Bunny or Ronnie are unexpectedly and painfully reminded that our bodies are only our temporary tents, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 drives our biblical hope home. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is prepared for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparisons, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Even though as believers, we put our hope in the things that are unseen, things that we can't take in with our natural eyes, rest assured, we have hope, real hope, because we have Christ, and Christ brings hope.